The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
The following is an encore presentation of Heroes of the North State, recorded 1 week ago, April 3rd. Enjoy the show.
Well, welcome to another episode of Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade with My Umbrella Marketing. And tonight we have a repeating guest and additional guests that we're going to get to know throughout the evening. We are sharing the evening with Kelsey Halverson. Welcome, Kelsey.
Thank you.
From Carrying Heroes, and we'll explain what that is in just a moment. And then along with her, we have Jesse. And Jesse, I'm sorry, I may pronounce your last name incorrectly. Carrillo?
Carrillo.
Sorry. I will get it hopefully by the end of the night.
Nailing it.
And she is a volunteer. And then along with her, we have Bree Donnelly. And Bree has another nonprofit here in town, and she's the director and founder. And so they have all come together because they have a common interest and a common goal. And we're going to share that with you tonight. And if it's the first time you're ever tuning in, just to give you a very short, brief overview of what this show is, it's Heroes of the North State are people who live in our community, who rise above, make a difference in the lives of others simply because it's the right thing to do. And these three ladies really set the stage for that. And by the end of the evening, you're going to get to know them. You're going to get to know their cause and the people that they serve and the people that they help and the animals. And so tonight we're going to start with Kelsey. And Kelsey, so you've been with us before, and you have Caring Heroes, which, of course, when I saw that title, I'm like, it has to tie into Heroes of the North State.
Right, yeah.
But tell us a little bit about what it is, what your nonprofit is, and what you do for the community, and then we'll dive in more later as the show goes on.
Okay, yeah, the really simple answer is that we help save horses, and then we use those horses to help our heroes. So our community heroes and then our nation's heroes, which would include your first responders, your veterans, any immediate emergency workers, and then their family members if they're affected by their service.
Wow. Okay, so how long have you been doing this?
We founded as a nonprofit in January of 2021.
So I think when I first met you, it was fairly new.
Right, yeah.
And the word was getting out, and you were serving a lot of people even at that time. I remember you telling us a couple of stories that brought tears to my eyes with the servicemen that came that you were able to help. Yeah. And so the premise behind that, so then do you have them at your home?
So we have a ranch just under 5 acres out in Bella Vista.
Okay.
And so, yep, that's where the horses live, and then that's where we have people come out.
And what kind of got you to think that, hey, this is something that I can connect people who are, I'm assuming, in need, and we can talk a little bit more about that, to, were you rescuing horses already?
I wasn't yet. I think it's always been in my mind to help horses. I especially love the Mustangs, the wild ones, you know.
Yeah.
And they definitely need help. But I was volunteering for a long time at Exodus Farms, which is another nonprofit in the area, who is a riding program for kids who have had abuse and trauma.
Okay.
So I'd been volunteering there for a lot of years, and within the same week, two different people came up and said, hey, do you have a program like this for veterans?
Oh, so the need was there.
Yeah.
See people, for everyone who's listening, this is exactly what I'm talking about. So Kelsey's minding her own business, living her life, volunteering.
Right.
So you already have that heart.
Right.
For at-risk children.
Yeah.
And someone comes up and says, hey, and she could have looked the other way and said, "That's no, we don't do it. Somebody will do it. That's a great idea." But instead, you just did it.
Right. And it was in partnership with Exodus Farms, too, in the very early stages.
Okay.
But then it seemed like this is its own heartbeat, its own thing.
Yeah.
And so,
Well, and so you move. So you have 16 horses, I saw on your website.
We do currently, yes.
Wow. So when I met you, I want to say you had like
5 or 6,
yeah,
probably.
I
feel like it doubles every year.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. So the horses came first, the chicken and the egg. So the horses came first. you are rescuing them.
Yeah.
So they must come in all types of stages or.
They do. And for me, I really want to help the ones that no one else is helping or can help or knows how to help. And mm-hmm. so there's the whole world of horse slaughter. A lot of people have heard about it. They don't realize like how prevalent it is. Mm-hmm. And even Jessie, when we got connected just a few months ago, her voicemail to me, she's in tears and she's like, I'm looking at these faces and I've heard about it. I've seen Heartland. Like I've heard that this happens. I didn't realize. It's these horses. They're young. They're healthy sometimes. You have the ones who are not that need mm-hmm. some help. They've been in this system right. for a lot of time with no food, no water, no care. They get beat up mm-hmm. by humans. They get beat up by the other horses in there. And so it's a very hard thing, and Bree rescues from the same places that we do. It's a very hard thing to do, and so a lot of people just don't know how to get involved.
Right.
You know, it's like shady truck stops that you're getting your horses from once you're getting them from these people. So it's a scary world. And so if we can, as our program or hers too, be able to be that in between for people and get these horses safe and then have adopters, like she does a right. lot on the adoption side.
Right.
Most of the horses I get are ones that are not ever going to be rideable because of injuries okay. or things like that, or they just have a lot of trauma. They're perfect for what we do with our people mm-hmm. and helping our people heal. And so, but you need everybody doing their part, really.
So how do you, and you don't have to, of course, name names or anything, but I love horses. I'd have no idea where to look to find a horse that is in that kind of condition or is
yeah.
Being abused or
yeah.
neglected. How do you find those sources?
The very first spot, really, before they even end up in this ugly, dirty system towards horse slaughter, are the free horses in your community. And so we do take those in when we can. If somebody, we just recently had someone who elderly passed away, left their horses behind, what are we supposed to do? Usually it's whoever's going to go pick up those horses first at no cost. They end up being horse traders or people who are just going to sell them
okay.
for slaughter. So if you as a person have the means to help a horse and you can help one locally like that, mm-hmm. who might be a senior, they might have health issues, they might not be rideable, if they are being offered for free and you can take them, that is a really great way to prevent them from ever having to go through this ugly world that we get them from.
So then the ugly slaughter world, not a pretty conversation, but
yeah,
it's real.
It's real.
And so then let's say, tell me how that happened. I have a horse at home. Let's say I get too sick or I just don't care.
Mm-hmm.
And they're just out in the field and I'm not taking care of them. And then I hear about a slaughterhouse. It's like a normal, like you would for cattle.
Yes. So
okay.
so they're actually over the borders. There's no slaughterhouses in the United
okay,
States.
Okay, I didn't
anymore.
Think so. That's why I was like, wow, okay.
So people think because slaughter in the U.S. ended, I think it was 07, they think it doesn't exist anymore a lot
okay.
of times. A lot of horse people, like my vets, my farriers, like different people are like, that still happens. Cattle ranchers in here. I thought that ended back when we went, when the last slaughterhouse closed.
That's the law. It's over.
Yeah, but it happens a lot.
We found
yeah.
the loophole.
Yeah.
yeah.
So loophole. Usually people will either give their horse away to somebody who ends up selling it at auction,
okay.
or maybe they sell it straight to somebody who's shipping over the border, or it just goes from auction to auction
okay.
kind of a thing.
Okay.
Until they eventually end up there.
So then, oh, sad.
Yeah.
Well, thank God for people like all of you.
Yeah.
And so then you now have, so you find these individuals that are coming to you and saying, hey, that we can see a need where we can connect
mm-hmm.
service people with
mm-hmm.
these horses. So
right.
you take them, you love on them, you get them to a place where now it's okay to bring people around them.
Right.
I imagine that's a process.
Yeah.
And then how did you get connected to the vets and the policemen and the firemen? And
yeah, so we were doing that first, really, because it was under Exodus Farms, just
okay.
as that
so
tiny
you had
program
a natural,
at first. Yeah.
Okay.
So we were getting the word out and connecting them that way, and then we found it as our own. I started acquiring different of these horses that were from rougher conditions and situations. And then it is just word of mouth a lot. We've got our website. We do small events, getting the word out. I would say our focus is not on serving thousands. Yeah. It's on serving the ones no one else is reaching, or that the traditional methods aren't helping necessarily. Mm-hmm. I've had family members say, you know, my loved one, they're going to the VA, they're doing all the things, but I feel like it's not enough for him.
Yeah.
Can we come out? And I'm like, absolutely.
Which takes a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So, okay, I want to expand on that, but let's go ahead and take a look over at Jesse for a moment. So, Bree. I knew that. I don't know why. I'm looking right at you. Okay, so Bree, you are the director and the founder of Golden West Rescue.
Yes.
So tell me how your nonprofit model differs from what Kelsey's doing.
So we have a lot of the same similarities and same goals at the end of the day. We just don't work with humans, per se.
Okay.
That's the only difference, really. I mean, obviously, we work with humans in a capacity.
Yeah. And I would say she also focuses on the adoption part, where I take in horses that will live with me probably through their last day. She wants to be able to help more horses, so people who are wanting to get involved somehow, maybe get a horse from these situations, but have a rescue to go through to do it.
Kind of like, it's like cats and dogs. You think like, oh, I'm ready for a kitten, I'm ready for a puppy. I would rather rescue one than go to a breeder, which, you know, there are ethical breeders and there are ethical rescues. Just like with everything in life, there's good and bad and the ugly.
Yeah, true.
Our main goal is to rescue, rehabilitate, and rehome.
Okay.
So we want them to go out into the world, get their second chance, and just heal. So
yeah.
A lot of
so
what
we
we're
love
doing,
all them.
Yeah, we, I want to see, and we have a lot of follow through. So like, Jesse is one of our recent adopters and she's like number one on my list right now. Like we talk almost every day.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's where there's a big hole in mass rescues and big shelters and things like that, is there's too many numbers to do the follow through.
Right.
So I saw the need for that, and that a lot of people don't know where to start.
Yeah.
Like, because a lot of our adopters come to me and are like, I don't know where to start. The industry as a whole can be very intimidating.
Mm-hmm.
Not only that, but you're dealing with a 1,200-pound animal.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There are a lot of different things. So what I want to do more or less was to see them get a second chance, the horses themselves.
Yeah.
And we do help the new owners, like, I will hold your hand the whole way till the end of that horse's life.
So someone who's never had a horse in their life can come out, get to know the horse, get to understand how to take care of the horse. And then do you transport, obviously you have to make sure the conditions. I remember a few years ago we adopted a dog when my kids were little, actually, more than a few years ago. They came to our home. It was a rescue home.
Yeah.
They came to our home to make sure we had good fencing, that everything was going to be appropriate. Do you do that as well?
Yes. So
I hear the music.
I was going to say, I hear
hold
music.
That thought. We're going to be right back in just a moment. Thank you for listening to Heroes of the North State. I'm Michelle Slade with My Umbrella Marketing.
Now is a great time to prepare for the upcoming wildfire season. REU and city staff are busy clearing vegetation to mitigate wildfire risk to our power lines, facilities, and the community. You can also prepare by trimming back shrubs and tree branches that are closer than 5 feet from your home. Clear debris from your roof and gutter and clear dead vegetation on your property. For information about tree trimming and proximity to power lines, call 530-224-4356. Please remember, we all need to work together to prevent wildfires in our community.
Hi, it's Mark from Haven Humane Society. Are you looking to add to your family? We have puppies, kittens, small critters, and farm animals. Each year, we have thousands of amazing animals looking for homes come into our lives, and we hope to have them join yours. Follow us on social media and find our links on our website, havenhumane.org. Watch our weekly content on YouTube, like our Mark's Monday mashup, when we talk about what's going on and introduce you to our team and adoptable animals. Get involved. Volunteer. Thank you for all your continued support. Together, we are moving closer to our ultimate goal of a North State with no more homeless pets.
When people ask me for a recommendation for a heating or air conditioning company, I always say Alliance Heating and Air. Why? Well, they've been taking care of our HVAC system for 14 years. Professional, friendly, and willing to go to the extra step for their customers. I have found no problem too difficult or too minor for them to repair. I recommend Alliance Heating and Air with no reservations. You can reach them at 530-221-2642 or online at homecomfort.org. And they have 24/7 emergency assistance. Alliance Heating and Air.
there. Hi, this is Chuck Kenny, owner of Shasta Gas Propane. 27 years ago, my wife Judy and I started Shasta Gas with the help and under the direction of the Lord Jesus Christ. In fact, we believe He is the owner and we are simply the managers. Through the years, we have received many offers from major national corporations to buy Shasta Gas, but our commitment has always been to be and remain locally owned and family operated. Our daughter Karen Wehunt and her husband Jason now manage the daily operations of Shasta Gas and Shasta Tanks, a new business we started a few years ago. We now have the third generation of family members working in the business. Sunshine Stevens, our granddaughter, and her husband Adam, and our grandson Jason. Our commitment and motto are still the same. Our customers are warm friends. To support locally owned family operated business, please call Shasta Gas Propane at 530-365-3793. That's 530-365-3793.
Good morning, Reading. This is Rick Hughes, host of The Flatline. Heard every Sunday morning on KCNR 96.5 FM at 7 a.m. in the morning. Just want you to know that God has given us two ends, one to think with and one to sit on. And success in life depends on which one you use. It's heads you win and tails you lose. Come join me on The Flatline and learn about God's tremendous problem-solving device. 7 a.m. every Sunday morning, 96.5 FM, KCNR.
The following is an encore presentation of Heroes of the North State, recorded last month, March 13, 2025.
Welcome back to Heroes of the North State. We are live in the studio this evening. We have with us Kelsey Halverson, and she's the founder and CEO of Carrying Horses. And we also have with us Bree Donnelly, and she has a nonprofit called Golden West Rescue. And we left off with Bree. We were talking about with your rescue with horses, if you're just tuning in, both of these foundations, nonprofits, rescue horses and connect them to their forever home. Actually, Kelsey connects hers. They live at her home, and then she has service men and women who maybe have undergone trauma who come out for healing. And so, but let's go back to Bree for now. We were talking about what it takes for just the average person to adopt an animal and all the background check and the what you do, how you walk through that, and you could say it way better than I could.
So we do our due diligence to make sure that we have a good fit both for the horse and the person, right? Because they are individuals. It's just like dogs. Every dog has a different need. Every horse has a different need. And every human has a different need. Some people have expectations where they want to adopt a horse and give it a second chance, but they also want to be able to ride on it, or they want to ranch on it. Some people just want to adopt them and just love them.
Yeah.
And there's a few people that want to adopt them and just want to look at them. They just want to give them a home in their field, which is amazing because in the rescue world, we get a lot of the misfits and the rebels and the ones that people gave up on. And the reality is that humans made them that way in the first place. So my goal is to be a human that can fix what others broke.
That makes sense. Is there an average length of time? I mean, obviously, when horses come that have been through I'm sure what you both receive, there's not like, oh, yeah, we fix them in a week. I mean,
everything,
it probably
everyone's
takes
different. Yeah, everyone's different. So the last couple that we saved, we actually, me and Kelsey teamed up, and we saved four. So she saved two, and I saved two. And that was magical, right? Because normally I'm going and I'm picking up one. And then I was like, hey, girl, I'm going here. And she was like, all right.
Yeah.
I was like, you got an hour? And she's like, these two. And a lot of what Kelsey is rescuing is ex-Amish horses. And, you know, the Amish use them for everything. They're their machines.
Yeah.
Those horses in her program want love so incredibly bad that it, even if you're not spiritual, religious, anything like that, you cannot help but feel them shake your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And it's because they deserve it so bad. They have served humans, and then they were sold for meat.
Yeah.
And then they come here, and they're like, wow, This is amazing. And I think a lot of the veterans and the people that she helps can feel that. And it's a different kind of therapy. Like, I don't think therapy is, like, the perfect word for it.
Yeah.
There's a word we need to invent for it, guys. But
yeah.
It is a different kind of bespoke healing that you can get from these creatures. And I think that, for me, I just saw it. If you think about it, one in probably 10,000 people wants a horse. That's crazy low numbers compared to, like, dogs or cats. Don't quote me on that number, but that's just, like, not – look at how many people are in downtown Reading. None of these places can house a horse. Mm-hmm. So the need for horse rescue is substantial.
Okay.
Because there's so many more requirements. It's 10-fold so much more expensive to do as well. Everything's bigger.
Exactly.
Everything's more. So our process, I have probably turned down more people than I've accepted, and it was for their good and for the horse's good.
It wasn't the right fit, right location.
It's not the right fit, the right location, and unrealistic expectations, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So there is no – I went off track, sorry. There is no easy time, I guess, to say when they're ready.
Mm-hmm.
Jesse just recently adopted Honey from us, and Honey was one of our quicker turnarounds because she was, like, self-healing. She was very self-aware, and Honey was like, I'm ready. I'm loved. I'm safe. Versus I have a horse, Rory, who we have had for over a year, and he is like, I'm done. Humans are bad. You're all bad. And so it's just like with us, really. They have their own limits and their own process of how they work through it and how they can heal, and some of them don't heal,
right?
Whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally, and they can't tell us what's going on, which I think makes it a lot harder, is that they can't say, hey, a blonde lady in my past was really mean to me, and that's why I don't like you, because you're a blonde lady.
Yeah.
Which
no,
I'm pretty sure that's Rory's story.
I'm pretty sure
that's Rory's story. Which, and not all the horses that I save are going to be rehomable, and that's the reality. But our goal is to not be a sanctuary, as much as I admire them. I want to help people have horses and experience that earth-shattering love that you can just get from just sharing the ground with them.
True.
And
so that's actually a good segue. Let's talk with Jesse. So, Jesse, you are an adopter.
Correct.
So tell me, how did you find each other? How did you find Bree and her organization?
So it actually came through Kelsey.
Yes,
it started with Kelsey. It actually started with Trailhead Youth Ranch. So a little bit of backstory. My daughter, her dad had passed away when she was 5 in a car accident, and she kind of lost interest in everything. Like, we tried soccer, and we tried, you know, dance, and we tried all these different sports, and she wasn't really connecting with anything. And I never in a million years thought I would own a horse.
Right.
I saw them growing up, but it was never a thing that I was like, yep, I'm going to be a horse person. Not my plan. So she ended up going to this youth ranch last summer. And the first day she came home, I was like, oh man, I'm a horse mom now. Like, I can see such a difference. I was like, from what I hear, horses are expensive, and, you know, I don't know anything about them, and they're dangerous and all these things. And, she came home and I was like, okay, we need to feed this. I talked to my husband. I was like, we need to push this, because this is the first time we've seen passion in her again.
Yeah.
And
that's proof in the pudding right there.
Yes.
Like, one day with them and her light came back.
Yes.
Yeah.
It was like within, you know, it was a quick couple hour session, and she came home and she was just, she stopped playing video games. She started focusing on things. She's like, Mom, I just want to get involved. She wanted to work. She wanted to do chores. Mm. She was just obsessed with YouTube videos on horses and all these things. I'm like, okay, let's feed this. And I just made a simple post on Facebook. And I said, I'm clueless. Does anyone have some way for me to connect? My daughter is really interested in getting involved with horses. And so many people tagged Kelsey with Caring Heroes.
Nice.
And I was like, okay, I'll reach out. And it was the funniest thing, because we kind of had this back and forth for a while, and we started working with a trainer, Tim Morlock, and he's amazing, and she was learning how to ride, but she didn't have a horse of her own.
Right.
And so we were just on less than a week, et cetera. And then he got me on a horse, and I was like, I haven't been on a horse since I was 10. This is going to be all bad. And I fell in love at that point. I'm like, oh, no, we're in trouble. And we ended up somehow reconnecting, and we were looking at horses online everywhere, and there are so many scams online, and we couldn't find a horse anywhere. I'm like, you know what, we'll just, you know, take it day by day. God has a plan. We'll just trust it. Mm-hmm. And Kelsey randomly reached out to me out of nowhere and was like, hey, you should check out this website. And I was like, okay. I was one of those people that had no idea that slaughters were still going on. Mm-hmm. I mean, I thought, you know, it's banned, not a big deal. You know, it's a good, it's not happening anymore. And I was so wrong. She sent me this link and I started looking through, and these babies' faces just broke my heart over and over.
Literally add horse to cart and it will be here in 2 days.
It's like a bag of chips.
You don't. Here's the date. It is going to be shipped across the border to become meat. It is.
Wow.
It is
a super dark industry that a lot of people aren't even aware of.
Let alone
that it existed, let alone that it was banned. And that there is a loophole, so it's not really banned.
Yeah, it was literally like I was scrolling through, and it just said it had the – I found a horse that I liked, and I was thinking maybe they were selling these horses. And I go down, and I found one I liked, and then I go down, and it's got this countdown system. And it says the date was zero, or the countdown was zero, and the date was the day before. And I was like, wait, you're telling me this horse isn't even alive anymore? And it broke me. There was, you can ask anyone around my home in the past, in that day, I was crying for a solid 12 hours. I just couldn't contain myself. I was calling everyone, and I'm like, I can't save them all. I don't know what to do. I didn't know this was happening. And my heart was just broken. And I found this one. And she was just, I saw her face, and I like to say her little face, but it's not a little face. She's a draft, and she's massive. She's the biggest horse I've ever seen. Huge. And I fell in love with this beautiful thing, and she had 12 hours.
Oh.
And I was like, I don't care what it costs. I don't care how to do this. We had so many obstacles to face in getting her. We didn't have the home for a horse.
Yeah.
I don't know anything about taking care of a horse. We didn't know how we were going to get her shipped. We didn't know how we were going to pay for her. Like, all of these things. So I'm like, all I know is I cannot let this baby go. Mm-hmm. And there was just a connection. And within probably 4 hours, Kelsey had worked out every single detail to make sure it happened. And we paid for her, I think, the next day. We went out there and talked to you that day. We bought her the next day, and she boarded her until we could get our property in line. And she worked for months training me on, this is what she's been through. This is what you need to do in order to give her a good home. And I was so impatient. I was so impatient. I was like, I want her home right now.
Yeah.
And she's like, no.
Yeah.
I was like,
you.
But why not? Like, she's here. She doesn't hate me. It's going to be fine. Looking back at that now, I'm like, thank God that she walked me through that process and forced my patience, because I would not have the relationship I have with Anastasia now if I didn't go through that process. And that was just Anna's story.
Yeah.
And we got a second one. Mm-hmm. So that was through Bree, and they actually met while picking up Anna from, was it Stockton?
Mm-hmm.
Stockton. Well, you guys were picking her up, and I hear the music, so we will
pause
on that.
Know what that means. Hot Cars and Cool April Nights is back. This year is going to be bigger than ever, so mark your calendars for 10 days of classic car fun. This year has more show and shines, a drive-in movie, and don't forget about the cruise on Friday, April 25th, followed by the biggest show and shine of them all on Saturday, April 26th. Get your wristbands at any local Napa Auto Parts store. And remember, Cool April Nights returns April 18th through the 27th, so update those calendars now and also get a full schedule of events at CoolAprilNights.com.
Shasta Lake and neighboring friends, the Queen of Dragons has your back with premium products at prices that work for you. As the longest standing dispensary in the area, our local team knows exactly what you need. Our shelves are stocked with the freshest flower in town. From our premium, fresh, and local line to our budget-friendly options featuring Emerald Junkies and Tricana Boys. Don't miss our famous Flower Friday deals. Top quality at unbeatable prices. And for the green thumbs out there, clones are now in store for the growing season. Join our Dragons Reward program and earn points with every purchase. Stop by 5044 Shasta Dam Boulevard in the city of Shasta Lake, or call us for delivery at 530-276-9771. Or check out our menu at thequeenofdragons.com. The Queen of Dragons. Premium offerings. Unbeatable value just for you.
This is Ted Leidy with Northern Fire and Destruction. Obtaining a California concealed weapons license will allow the licensed individual to transport a listed handgun in their vehicle or on their person in public. For application instructions, training, and other information, contact NFI at 530-999-1822 or visit us online at usgunpro.com. This is Ted Leidy, and remember, it's our right and our responsibility.
Owners, landlords, and tenants trust Authority Property Management at 2663 Victor Avenue. They manage a variety of properties, including single-family homes, apartments, condos, townhouses, multifamily properties, and commercial properties. Authority Property Management offers full-time management, including finding and screening tenants, rent collection, financial reporting, and final walkthrough home inspections when they move out. Contact Authority Property Management today at 530-410-6085 and check out their website at authoritypm.com.
Hello there, this is Kevin Cry. Starting March 12th, every other Sunday, I will be on KCNR, your talk radio, 96.5 FM and 1460 AM. I will be discussing the issues that matter to you most. You'll be able to call in directly, ask questions, and have a dialogue open and free every other Sunday right here on KCNR, your talk radio.
We are back. We're live here in the studio. This is Heroes of the North State, and live in the studio with us, we have three guests. We have Kelsey, who is with Caring Heroes. We have Jesse Carrillo.
You're good, girl.
And Bree Donnelly. And when we left off, we were talking with Jesse. And Jesse, do you remember where we left off? Because I famously didn't remember.
Yep. So the second story, so our first horse, the giraffe, that was from Kelsey and Caring Heroes, and she kind of stewarded that whole process to get her home. And then we realized, thanks to Kelsey, she's like, horses need a buddy. And I was like, oh, I'm signing up for two horses now. Cool. So we were like, okay, well, Grace is going to need a horse of her own anyways. And, you know, we're not going to share mine because I love her way too much to share. So she was like, okay, let's start looking for horses. And Kelsey was like, hey, funny story. When I was picking up Anna from Stockton, from the slaughterhouse truck, whatever it was, she met someone here locally, and she's like, maybe she has a horse for you, because she actually does the rehoming process of, and the rehabilitation. So she connected us, and we went out there, and she had two horses for us to look at, and Gracie and Honey, which her name was Buttercup originally, and they call her Butters, which is like the cutest thing on the planet. And Gracie and her just immediately fell in love. Like, they were attached at the hip, the pictures, the videos, everything. It, such an incredible bond between the two of them. And it was so funny because Gracie said she didn't want a small horse and she didn't want a buckskin. And that was her only condition. And Honey is a very, very small buckskin. And she didn't even want to look at the other horse. She's like, Mom, I'm in love. This is it. I never want to separate. And you could ask Bree. It was like pulling teeth, getting her out of there because she was just so in love.
How old is Gracie now?
She's 10.
Okay. All right.
So she's got a heart of gold, too.
She knows
which is
what
perfect because she's got a golden horse. But it definitely was one of those moments that restores, like, your faith in anything, everything, no matter what your belief system is. Like, because that morning I had texted Jesse and I was like, hey, so now that I'm thinking about it, I've never seen this horse with kids. And it always will make me nervous, a big animal around a small human, right?
Right.
And I was like, so expectations, like I've never seen these ones because we got them in August. And so it's still fairly new, working through their stuff, finding out their quirks. And it was like yin and yang. It just... And then I was like, wow, I can let her go because I was very attached to her. She had a very traumatic eye injury, so getting to know her, I was out there every 2 hours treating her eye with six different medications. And that's a pretty hard thing to treat on a horse, let alone when you don't know. And so I was like, this is my girl. Like, she's amazing. I'm very selective. And I even told her, like, hey, I don't want to get your hopes up.
Yeah.
But, like, we're the perfect home is for this horse only. And then... Gracie and her met, and I was like, okay.
There it was.
And so when you have a horse, maybe Kelsey, you can answer this too. When you have a horse and you put it in with a new pen partner, I don't know what you call it. I made that up, I think. Mm-hmm. Do they always get along, or is there ever a, like, hey, I don't want to be in the same corral as you?
Yeah, the way I do it at my place is they're always in their own spot with a fence line sharing, like sharing a fence line, so that they can get to know each other over a fence and not feel as defensive, not feel, you know, sometimes if they feel defensive, they're going to be more aggressive. So I always introduce them to others with a fence in between. And that might be for days, that might be for a month, really until it seems like it's the right fit, which we didn't do it that way, but it worked out fine. Yeah.
So then how do you know, shifting gears just a little bit, and then we can come back to the conversation. How do you know when a horse is ready to meet someone who wants to come out who maybe has had something traumatic? Maybe explain a little bit more about the service side of it and how you're servicing veterans, firemen, and policemen.
Yeah, so most of our horses, when I get them, they are pretty malnourished just because they've been in this ugly world for weeks, months, sometimes a long time. So on a body score of 1 to 10, I've had ones that the vet said they should be in the negative. Like they were basically a 0 or a 1, like pretty low, pretty hard to keep them alive. Most of them we've been able to. So physically it's just getting them healthy. Even in that state, I will have people, if it feels right and the horse is comfortable and wants to engage, they can go meet them, even if physically they're in a harder time. Mentally, a phrase that's been in my mind recently just as I see my different horses is that there's about a 1 year mark, I feel like, physically, not just for them to get up to a healthy weight, but just for the muscles, for the body, for everything to really heal, even from injuries and things. There's something about the 1 year mark I've noticed with the horses.
Okay.
But there's some where just a phrase in my mind recently is that the mind actually is one of the hardest things to heal. You know, the body might heal. Sometimes the body. Yes, exactly. And that it doesn't mean that they can't heal, but a lot of times that's the harder part for people and for the horses. So a lot of my horses, they might be ready to meet somebody over the fence. The two newest ones that Bree picked up for us, they were Amish horses. They were probably worked very hard. They've got scars and marks to show it. They're in a 3-acre field right now.
Okay.
They want nothing to do with humans. Like, they're actually really curious. It's been two and a half weeks maybe. They're very curious, but they don't even want to come up to the fence.
Yeah.
Just, it tells you a lot. They jump at everything. I've got one, you toss hay in and he's jumping like you're going to beat him over the fence.
Okay.
So those ones obviously are not ready to meet humans yet. And it's just gauging when the horse shows you the behaviors that says they're comfortable and they're ready for it. We never want to jeopardize the horse's mental health or their physical health,
Or setbacks.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, true. So I can only imagine how much, you have 16 horses yet. How large of a space do you have to have?
So I utilize some foster families. I think Bree does too. So people who keep the horses on their land, they feed them, things like that. Because county regulations, we can only have so many on our property.
Okay.
So then for us to be able to help more horses, we do utilize other people who foster them.
Okay.
So usually it is the ones that are newer intakes
or
ones that are local, like the three I mentioned that were local. They don't really have abuse or trauma. The owner passed away and they needed a new home quickly. Those are easier ones for other people to take care of where they're not as special needs. You know, they don't need the emotional healing the same way.
So then you have your website,
mm-hmm.
caringhorses.com?
That'd be a good one. It's Caring Heroes.
Heroes, sorry. Sorry, we were talking about changing up the names. I just did it right here. Okay, say it one more time.
Caring Heroes. org.
Maybe we do both. I don't know.
Yeah.
CaringHeroes.org. Of course, I knew that.
Yeah.
So they can find you, out. So if you have someone, maybe it's a vet, and they've come back and they've had a traumatic experience, and they get connected to you.
Yeah.
So what's the process? How do you get a hold of you?
The easiest way on our website, there's a contact form, and it says sign up. And it's just, we get your basic your contact information. We ask a couple of questions to have you rate your stress levels on average over the last month, over the last week. That helps us know whether, because our focus is stress relief.
Right.
You don't have to be diagnosed with PTSD to come out at all. It's just stress relief related to your service.
Okay.
And so if you're out of 1 out of 10, you're a 2 on stress levels, that helps you know, okay, we'll get you scheduled in the next couple weeks.
I will have people often who are 9 or 10 out of 10 on the stress levels. So that tells me mm-hmm. I'm calling you immediately. Let's get you out today if we need to, tomorrow. Mm-hmm. It helps us gauge how soon we need to get them out.
So I'm assuming, is this an all-day thing for you? I mean, do you have... Imagine you must have
my joke.
We live in a pretty stressful world.
People are like, "That's so wonderful! You have horses in your free time." My joke is, "No, I'm pretty sure I work in my free time. Uh-huh. The horses take up all my time."
Yeah, exactly. What free time?
Yeah. 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 No, so we tried. We're mostly just weekdays, mornings, and then kind of just depends on the sun. But we try to be as accommodating as needed for people. So okay. we really want to help people who need the help and nothing else is reaching them.
Okay. And so do you take either of you just phone calls, like random phone calls? Like if someone's listening right now and they're like, "Oh, I know someone who has a horse that really needs a home, hasn't been able to find one." Do you take those types of leads also?
Yes. So, I mean, I would. Bree?
Yeah, we do as needed. We have a pretty large list. A lot of... It's kind of everywhere, but a lot of people, once a horse is old, they don't want it anymore.
Gotcha.
So,
gotcha. Okay.
Well, we have a list.
You want a third horse?
So we try to help out. So there are some situations where, like, we've gotten phone calls where some tragedy happened or they're incarcerated, something that's awful that you don't want to happen to your loved one.
Yeah.
But they have horses and... The horses got to go. They got to go somewhere to where we will act up and we can connect people. If I can't take them in right now, and I think okay. same with Kelsey,
yeah.
like we will do our hardest to connect to find them a soft place to land, and then we will help facilitate
nice.
Safety, if that yeah. makes sense.
Yeah. That's a good place to start. I can't believe how fast our commercial breaks are coming up. So we're going to take a commercial break, and then when we come back, it'll be our last segment here in the studio. Well, let's talk about your fundraisers that are coming up. And so stay tuned, more to share. We'll be right back.
A cancer diagnosis comes with a lot of uncertainty, but where you receive your treatment should never be one of them. Many patients don't realize that they have a choice in their care. You don't have to leave Reading, and you don't have to settle for a rotating team of doctors who don't know your history. At Valor Oncology, you'll receive world-class cancer treatment with the same trusted team by your side every step of the way. Our Harvard-trained oncologist, leading female breast surgeon, and advanced technology rivaling top universities ensure that you get the best possible care right here at home. Tell your doctor you want to be referred to Valor Oncology because your treatment should be your choice. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org to schedule a consultation. Valor Oncology, rooted in Reading, focused on you. Call 530-900-4000 or visit valor.org to schedule a consultation.
Do you have something you'd like to get painted? Then bring it to Victory Powder Coating. Powder coating is a durable, colorful, environmentally friendly alternative to paint. It's useful in automotive, agricultural, decorative, and high-temperature applications. Victory Powder Coating has become the North State leader in powder coating applications and metal finishing. They specialize in large industrial items like truck beds, agricultural equipment, and trailers. They're dedicated to providing superior work and outstanding customer care. Consider Victory Powder Coating for your next project. Victory Powder Coating.
Every day, your life is filled with choices. And when a health crisis happens, you need to be prepared to choose the best healthcare partner. That's when Shasta Regional Medical Center is there to answer the call above the rest. Ranked best in Reading and in the nation for patient safety and clinical excellence, you can be confident that when you choose Shasta, you are choosing superior care, safety, and excellence for you and your family. Choose Shasta at ShastaRegional.com.
KCNR invites you to join us the second Friday of the month starting at 8 a.m. for the Gorman Law Hour featuring local attorney Patrick Gorman, a legal expert when it comes to injured workers, compensation claims, and employee claims. So, if you have a legal question or just wonder whether or not you have a legal issue or problem, talk to Patrick Gorman, attorney at law, during the Gorman Law Hour starting at 8 a.m. the second Friday of the month on KCNR.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa and Janet Chandler. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archive link.
Come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson state of mind.
Enjoy this encore.
Welcome back to the show. You're listening to Heroes of the North State, and we are in our last segment. We've got about 10 minutes with these wonderful ladies who are making a difference in the lives of our community and the lives of the animal community here in Northern California. And we have Kelsey Harverson, and she is the founder and CEO of Caring Heroes. I want to keep saying horses because we're talking about horses. And then we have Jessie Carrillo, and she is a volunteer and has adopted. See, I got it. I
nailed it.
And then Bree Donnelly, and Bree has Golden West Rescue. So all of these amazing ladies have rescued animals, are caring for animals and caring for our service men and women here in our community, that or anyone who maybe has had trauma comes out to Kelsey's and loves on horses and they love on them. It's really a great form of therapy / love fest, I guess. And so all of that is not free. And so we know that it takes a community to make a community continue and thrive. And so, Kelsey, you have a fundraiser coming up, is my understanding. So let's talk about that, because this is a great way for our community. If you can't adopt a horse, but you love the mission and what you're doing, how can they support?
Yeah, so this is really, I say, the easiest way to support us all year. Go buy lunch or dinner at Jersey Mike's on March 26th. 100% of everything that they take in that day, of all their sales, not just their profits, they donate to Caring Heroes. And that's both locations in Reading. So you've got the normal one on Browning, and then down by Costco is their new location.
That's incredible for a business to give 100%.
That's huge. That is huge. Yeah.
Because we know it's more than 100%, because it's 100% of the revenue they made that day, but it's all their employee expenses.
Right.
Their product.
Yeah, I was going to say the cost of the day itself. Mm-hmm.
That is so incredibly generous. Yes. Okay, folks, if you are listening, you definitely need to help everybody.
And then we do a few small online fundraisers throughout the year. And then if there are people, a really great way to help any nonprofit that you care about is to be a monthly supporter, even if it's $5 or $10. It doesn't have to be $100 a month. But that really helps any nonprofit plan 100%. Their expenses and their budget for the year and know, can we take in more horses? Can we not? So that's a really good way to support.
Yeah, because I can imagine probably with most of you, it was your own giving in the beginning that got it all started, which is the whole premise of the show, I must say again. And we live in a very giving community, very, well, I guess giving is just the best word. I mean, this whole show was came to light because of the car fire, because I was sitting at home and I'm hearing about all these amazing things that people were doing to help everyone who was in need, and they were complete strangers. Here, you can stay in my house. Here, I'll take your animals. Here, you need a toothbrush. And I'm like, we need to talk about this. We need to shine a light on these people.
I like the heroes, even, like, small, medium, or large, any degree. I like the heroes, right?
Exactly. And what I found out is the unsung is for a reason, because they hide. Yeah. Usually most people who give don't want to be talked about or be in the spotlight. So thank you for coming and sharing all this with us. So we've just got a few more minutes. Is there anything that we haven't touched on? Well, first of all, where do they go to give? Let's talk about that.
Yes. Yeah, so besides our fundraiser on March 26th at Jersey Mike's, you can go to caringheroes.org, and there's a donate page. That's another simple way. We utilize a platform that doesn't take any fees out. So usually when you pay, when you donate through PayPal or Venmo or things, there's still a percentage taken out. We use a program that doesn't.
Wow, so, that's wonderful.
Yeah, so that's
I didn't
really
even know that existed.
I know. I think it's the only one that I know of. And then Bree, I probably also...
Yes.
So we have several donation platforms. Through our website, there's a link that will bring up all of them.
Okay.
I used to own a business, and I realized that everyone has their different ways of paying. So, so we utilize the ones that do take fees, which it's kind of a shame.
That's all right.
We most all... of them do.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's just like stores with credit card processors. Mm-hmm. They're just like, here's my 3%. Yeah. So, our website is www.goldenwestrescue.com. And then there's a whole plethora of things you can find out about me and my husband and what we do. And then there's links to all our different donation outlets. And then we also break down, like, where is your donation going? Because a lot of people don't understand that, like, to feed one horse a day is a lot of money.
It's a lot. They eat a lot. And some people have a habit of, you're right, they want to know, okay, I gave X amount to go towards this. Because it's not just the feeding. It's got to be the medicine.
Medical. They need dentals once a year, which is extremely expensive. There's no dental insurance for a horse. I mean, I'm sure there is, but we don't qualify. their dentals, their hoof care is very expensive, and that needs to happen frequently. And for Kelsey and I, we're rehabbing a lot of emaciated horses, so the refeeding programs are so much more expensive, and they're very time-consuming. So I have an emaciated mare right now, and I have to feed her small meals every 3 hours.
Oh, I see.
But also the more expensive high-calorie stuff, like stuff dedicated towards medical issues. Veterinary care is so expensive. Yeah. So the day-to-day, really, donations for everything.
Yeah.
We do have designated fundraisers, like you can sponsor a hoof trim, or you can sponsor a bale of hay and I'll buy it, or here's the grain that we need this week and I will literally go the end of that day and say thank you, Susan, for sponsoring this bag, and I will send you a picture of the bag that I bought with it.
Nice.
Because I think if I'm going to ask for your donations, I'm going to show you
what you get.
Well, yeah, and I keep my word and I'm really transparent. I think there's a huge hole in charities and nonprofits that people don't feel like they were recognized.
Yeah.
And I make a note to tell, like, I saw your name.
Yeah.
It That's comes through me. I see your name, whether it was $1, $2, $300. I saw your name. I said it out loud, and I will never forget it.
Yeah.
Whether you live here, or you live in LA, or you live in New Zealand, I see your name, and they're alive and well because of it. Yeah. So.
Well, in the world of social media, you can do
a blessing and a curse,
lot.
Man.
Yeah.
it is beautiful as much as it cannot be in times, but for something like this, it can it can really move mountains.
Yeah.
And that's where this all started, with social
media. Yeah, social media, right? Like,
true.
Where I didn't even know that Kelsey was here, didn't know that Jesse was here, and then we met, and then it just snowballed.
Well, ladies, I hate to do this, but we're going to have to wrap up. We've got just a little over a minute left. So thank you for coming. I appreciate all of you.
Yes, absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Absolutely. Local heroes. Tune in the second Thursday each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now. I'm Michelle Slade. During North State Now, we will speak with your neighbors, friends, family, and community members who give back, not to be recognized, but because it's the right thing to do. During these conversations, we will learn what truly makes our community and the people in it. Join me the second Thursday of each month at 6:05 p.m. right after the news for Heroes of the North State on North State Now.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center. Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta.